that the Lord will touch our hearts and our minds. I know this is Wednesday night. It's the middle of the week. We've already put a couple of days behind us, and you may or may not be looking to the couple of days ahead of us, but at least we're right here, right now, and God wants to work in this place. So before we go forward, let's just lift our hearts up to the Lord. Let's just ask him to move in this place tonight and have his way in our hearts, have his way in your life. In the name of Jesus, O Lord, have your way in this place, O Lord, as your anointed word goes forward. Anoint these lips of clay, Lord God, to bring forth your word tonight, O Lord, so that it will touch us, it will change us, O Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus, move in this place. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, we'll remain standing for these readings. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Then Genesis chapter 29, 34, and 35. And Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and 15. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. Genesis 29, 34 to 35. And Matthew 25, 14 through 15. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." Genesis 29, 34 and 35. "Again she conceived and bore a son, and said, Now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi." Verse 35, "And she conceived again and bore a son and said, This time I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing." Matthew 25, 14 through 15. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey." You may be seated. Three seemingly contrasting references of scripture tonight, but I hope to pull it together for us before we are finished here tonight. In the book of Genesis, the story is told of Jacob and his family. There was a promise that God gave to Abraham, and he passed it down to Isaac and to Jacob. He said, "I would make of you a great nation." A great nation was to come from them, by which all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The promise of blessings was now resting with Jacob and his offspring. Jacob and his mother, Rebekah, connived for him to get the birthright. Stole it from his brother Esau. And because of that, he had to be on the run. So his mother, Rebekah, sent him to her brother Laban. When he went to his uncle Laban to live with him and to work for him, right away Rachel caught his eye. Rachel was a love of his life, love at first sight. So he struck a deal with his uncle where he would work 7 years for the right to marry Rachel. Jacob went to work for his uncle Laban because he wanted to marry beautiful Rachel. Those 7 years went by so quickly because he had a purpose in front of him. At the end of the 7 years, he ended up with her not-so-beautiful older sister, Leah. Instead, because Laban tricked him with the custom of their household, or the custom of that time in their community, which said that the older sister had to get married before the younger sister. So since no one wanted to marry Leah, when Jacob got married to Rachel, Laban made a switch on the wedding night And here is Leah, who the Bible said that her eyes were a little bit weak, whatever the real interpretation of that is. But she was not the one that Jacob wanted. But Jacob worked 7 years. Now, are there any husbands in the house tonight that could turn to their wife and say, I would work 14 years for you? So he saw Rachel was his love at first sight. And so he struck another deal. In order for him to get Rachel, he would have to continue to work another 7 years before Rachel became his wife. He went to work for his uncle for another 7 year period and got married to Rachel. So now you have this dichotomy of a desired Rachel and an undesirable Leah. Poor Leah. But while man looks on the outward appearance, God looks upon the heart. Leah would not be overlooked by God. So whether you feel as if you belong or don't belong, God has not overlooked you. Leah could have felt sorry for herself and become a footnote in history. God had made no promises to Leah. He never said, I would bring forth from you a great nation. That promise belonged to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The promise was given to Abraham and his seed. But God did not forget her. He saw her in what no one else did. He saw in her a willingness to glorify him. He saw a heart that was ready to be fruitful and to multiply. Wherever you find yourself in the kingdom of God, the right attitude and the best attitude to have is one of readiness to do the will of God. This is where Leah found herself. She could have sat and felt sorry for herself and said, I'm the undesirable sister. Nobody cares. No one is expecting much of me. But then in Genesis chapter 29, verse 31, it says, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And this is not a comparison tonight between Leah and Rachel. It's really about what God wants to do for us. And the title that I've given this lesson tonight is, what are you going to do? What are you doing with what you've got? What are you doing with what you got? When Leah gave birth, she would acknowledge God and give him glory. Genesis chapter 29, verse 34 and 35, we read earlier, and it says, again, she conceived and bore a son. And now this time my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore, his name was Levi. And then verse 34, she had another son and called his name Judah because she praised the Lord. She was not beloved by Jacob. No one was really expecting much from her. After all, she was in the family because her father deceived Jacob into marrying her. Imagine being in that situation. Imagine being in that status in the family. You are here not because you're wanted here, but you are here because someone made a deal to get you here. Here's what I believe that Leah recognized that prevented her from sitting still and not doing anything. That her husband Jacob was a blessed man and that the favor of the Lord rested upon him. Leah was now covered under God's promise to Abraham. And I believe that she recognizes in all the years that she saw Jacob working for her father, what she realizes is that Jacob is blessed. And what she realizes is that whether wanted or not, I'm now in a blessed situation. She had to know the situation. She had to know that the stories of how God had promised Abraham to make a great nation of him. Now she's a part of the family of God. And now she's like, now a part of the family of God. That means the promises that are given to my husband now apply to me. It's just like us being in here tonight, regardless of how you got here, regardless of how we came to know God, we're in the family of God. And now the promises that he's given to anybody else in here now belongs to us. She was now in the family of God. So although she wasn't the favored one, she didn't allow real or imagined negative perceptions about her to prevent her from being productive in the family of God. Whatever people imagined about her, whatever they said about her, she didn't allow that to turn her away. Never allow perceived and real opinions of you in the kingdom of God offend and keep you from being what God has created you to be in him. Amen. Never allow that to happen. When you think that you don't matter and that no one is really expecting you to contribute much in the kingdom, God has blessed and gifted you as it pleases him for the expansion of his kingdom. And that means that no one in this place, no one in the kingdom of God is insignificant. No one is insignificant. We need to have Leah's attitude of refusing to settle for less than who God has for us to become in him. He knows the future that he has waiting for us. He will choose when to use us. The future that God has for any of us is much brighter than we can ever imagine. On earth, of course, and as it is in heaven. The culture of those days was that a woman who didn't give birth to a child, especially a male child, was an embarrassment to her family and to the community. But this is how great God is. God gave Leah 7 children, 6 of which were boys. Her children would change the course of history. Out of these 7 children that Leah had with Jacob, it was through their son Levi that the Levitical priesthood descended. Levi was the great-grandfather of Aaron and Moses. It was through the descendants of her son Judah, which means praise, that many battles, when we read about many battles in the Old Testament with the children of Israel, it was Judah that went first. It was praise that went first. And it was the southern tribe of Judah that survived when the nation of Israel was split into 2 kingdoms, because praise will always live on. The northern kingdom that was made up of 10 tribes ceased to be a nation when they were carried away captives into Assyria. But Judah survived, that southern kingdom survived. From the lineage of Judah would come Ruth, submitted Ruth, who was the great-grandmother of David. Through her descendants would come a humble girl by the name of Mary, whom God would choose to use to bring forth the Christ, Jesus, Son of the living God, who would be the Savior of the world. And so the question we have to ask ourselves as we sit in this place tonight is, who are the lives that God wants us to change? Regardless of who you are, regardless of what the situation is in your life, regardless of whether you feel that you're important or not, God wants to use you to change somebody's life. Leah brought forth those sons, and Genesis chapter 49, verse 29 through 31, this is what the Bible says concerning her. And this is what the instructions that Jacob gave on his deathbed that he gave to his sons, instructions that he gave to them. He said, then he commanded them and said unto them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah to the east of Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. Verse 31 says, there they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And Jacob said, and there I bury Leah. What a great honor for a person who started out, who wasn't even chosen. Leah was buried with the patriarchs. Leah was not buried in that same cave. She had her own tomb. But somewhere along the way, Jacob realized that I'm a blessed man. He buried Leah himself with his father and with his grandfather. That wasn't the original plan. That wasn't Jacob's plan. But her attitude and her availability touched the heart of God. So how about we say, Lord, if he can use anything, God, you can use me. Regardless of whether people look at you and they're expecting a lot from you or they're expecting nothing from you, God sees your heart. And it's our response to him that will allow him to work. He created and blessed each and every one of us with talent and ability for his divine purpose. God has a purpose for all of our lives. And there are lives that God wants to touch through the very people that are sitting in this room. Sometimes we can get into a place in our lives where we think that no one really cares. No one really is paying attention to me. God, what am I supposed to be doing? What would you have me to do? I don't think that I belong. But I think in the story that we just heard and a part of that story, Leah turned that up on its head and said, you know what? My sister was the one that everybody wanted. My sister was the one that everyone expected something from. But look what God did through her. Look at the lineage that came down through her. And that's what God wants to do. I don't know what God wants to do in your life tonight, but he knows. And what he's asking for us to do is to submit our hearts to him and our lives to him. It's up to us to allow God to work in our lives. God's purpose on the earth will be accomplished, and he wants to use you and I to accomplish his will. He wants to accomplish his will in our lives through the talents and the abilities that he has given to us. In the parable of the talents, as we move on to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, this parable of the talents, this master was going on a long journey, and he called three of his servants and gave them some talents. Verse 14 says, and verse 25, For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. Skipping down to verse 18. But he who had received the 1 talent, verse 17, the one who was given the 2 talents made 2 talents more. Verse 18, the one who was given the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Skipping down to verse 20, and he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more. Skipping down to verse 22, it says, he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here, and I have made 2 talents more. Verse 23, it says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set over you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Then verse 24, he also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So he admitted, he said, so I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. Verse 26, the master said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money in the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own talent. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he who will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 30, and cast a worthless servant to the outer, into outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God is not impressed with the gifts that we have. He wants to see what we do with the gifts that he has given to us. Notice in this passage that he did not emphasize the numerical value when he was rewarding the servants with the gifts. They received their just rewards. He said to both of those who had the five and the two, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you, said to both of them, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Both servants received their reward for using the talents and the abilities that God gave to them. It doesn't matter how many abilities, doesn't matter how many talents that we have tonight. What matters is what we do. What matters is what we do with what God has entrusted us with. Every one of us sitting on in this church tonight, in this building tonight, God has given us ability. God has given us talent, and he's looking for the return on his investment. We must not sit back and make excuses for not being a profitable servant. God is looking. The servant that was entrusted with the one talent did not use it because he was cheating God. The problem with this servant is that he showed no willingness to even try. He allowed fear and anxiety to get a hold of him, which then gave him a distorted view and a false view of the master. When we don't allow God to use us in the way that he wants us to use us, when we give God excuses for why I can't do this and why I cannot do that, it gives us a distorted, false view of who he is. We begin to believe that he is not this loving God that he says that he is. We begin to believe that he is something else that he is not. And that's what this servant did. And that's why the master was so critical of him. He didn't even make an effort. I believe if he had even made an effort, the master would have given him credit. We must be ready for God to use us whenever his call comes to us. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what the situation, what call God has placed upon your heart, what burden he's placed upon your heart, but he has given you a gift. And the question is, what are we doing with the gift that God has given to us? He will not ask us to do what he has not gifted us to do. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing in the kingdom. What matters is what God is asking you to do and how you respond to it. It is unacceptable to God if we are not prepared to work for him. We will be judged by him based on how he has gifted us and not on what he hasn't given to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12 says this, For if the readiness is there, and I know the version that I'm reading is a little bit different from what the King James version that you're seeing on the wall. It says, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. God will not accept any excuses for unwillingness to work in his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus tells a parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And the master called these laborers at different times of day, and he called them to work, and he put them in his vineyard to work. And at the end of the day, when he called them, he gave them the same reward. And people were disappointed. The ones who were there the longest were disappointed that the ones who came in much later on into the kingdom received the same reward. It doesn't matter if you've been here for 50 years or 50 minutes. Jesus is calling. But the question is, are we ready to answer? At the end of the day, they all received the same reward. God has a reward for all of us. But the question again is, what will we receive? Will we receive being thrown into outer darkness, or will we be able to show the Lord, God, this is what I've done with what you've given to me? will we be able to show him the benefit of his reward? Matthew chapter 20, verse 15, it says, the master answered to those who were jealous, to those who were envious of those that were came into the kingdom late. He says, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? And what the word is saying there, and what that parable is saying, listen, don't allow jealousy or envy to prevent you from doing the work of God. Answer the call of God on your life. Answer the call of God. It is getting late in the day for us to answer the call. The parable in Matthew 20, in Matthew chapter 20, when the Bible gave the parable of the talents, I realized this for the first time when I was reading through this, that that parable of the talents followed directly on the heels of the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins. It's not enough to be filled up with the Holy Ghost. It's not enough to even have the fire of God burning inside of us. What we have to realize is that though God has given that to us, what are we doing with the gift that he's given to us? We can be fired up all day long. We can stay in the prayer room from morning till night. But God has given us something, and he's expecting reward for what he's given to us. If all that God required for us is that we stay filled up with the Holy Ghost, he never would have followed it up and told us that we have to use the gifts that he's given to us. God will listen. God will do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to, using whomever is willing. But we just have to be ready. It's not our place to question who is doing what. It's our place to get to work for him. But if we're not willing, we will end up in outer darkness like the servant who had the nerve to tell his master that he knew best. May we have an attitude like Liz that says, I will not settle for a mundane existence in the family of God. There is work to be done by everyone, and he has given us the ability to get it done. The gifts belong to him, and he rewards us according to our use of them. Our responsibility is to get to work. God is the ultimate rewarder. The kingdom of God is not a place for slackers. God did not fill us with his spirit for us to come to church and just stay saved until he comes back again. And unfortunately, in too many churches, that scenario plays out. We find that in many places that the majority leave it to a few to really use their gifting from God. Too many look at a few individuals and convince themselves that they are taking care of it, so I can just relax. No, what they're doing is trying to multiply what God has given to them so that when he comes back, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the answer that we want to give to him. Because when he comes back, we will have to give an account for what we have done with what he has given to us. And as I close and the musicians can come to the instruments, I remember it was probably about a year ago as God was working in my life. And I remember this as if it was yesterday. This memory comes back to me all the time. I walked into my apartment one night and I said, God, I don't know. I can't do this. I just can't. And instantly, you know, sometimes the Lord waits, gives us an answer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. The Lord will tarry before he comes. Instantly, he responded to me. He said, stop saying that. Instantly, he said that to me because I was giving him excuses. I was telling him what I can't do. And basically what I was saying to the Lord is that I didn't want to, because I didn't want to get out of my comfort zone, because it wasn't what I was used to. And that is where a lot of us will find ourselves tonight, is that we will find ourselves in a comfort zone where we come to the house of the Lord, we feel comfortable with just doing the same old, same old. But deep in our heart, you know that God, and you feel the call of God upon your heart to be a part of ministry, to be a part of what he's calling you to do. And the warning that I've come to give tonight is that he's coming back. Time is going by, and when he comes back, he's going to stand in front of you, and he's going to want a return. He's going to want to see what you have done, what we have done with what he's given to us. Notice that when they gave him back, they actually had things to show him, show the Lord. God, see, I have made 2 talents more. See, I've doubled my talent. But the one who had the 1 talent went and hid it in the ground, didn't even try, didn't even want to give it to the Lord. He went and hid it in the ground because he figured out, well, this is what the Lord must be thinking. God must not want me to do this because somebody, this guy over here is already, I know he's a hard worker. I know that guy over there is working hard. So you know what? I'm just going to chill here until God comes back. And then when the master comes back now, he says, you slothful servant, you weren't even willing. If you had even gone out and given it some effort, even if you had failed, even if it didn't work out, I still would have blessed you. And that's what God is wanting from every one of us. I'm looking at people tonight who you are gifted, you are talented, and God wants to use you. But God, what God does not want from each and every one of us anymore are excuses. Time is winding up. The Lord is coming back really soon, and he wants to use every one of us. It doesn't matter who you are. Leah wasn't supposed to be anybody else, but through her lineage, Jesus came. Through her lineage came the greatest king. Through her lineage came Ruth. Through her lineage came the grace of God. And so as we stand to our feet tonight, I don't know where you are in your walk with God. Maybe you are already on your way and you're working for God, but I've got to tell you, there's more for you to do. There's more for God wants for you to do. But my appeal also goes out to those of you tonight who are maybe not in a place, maybe you have been resisting the call of God, or maybe you're just sitting there saying, well, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know what God wants. You know, it's my children that matter. It's my spouse that matters. It's my sibling that matters. It's really my parents that matter. No one really is expecting me to do anything. But God looks on the heart. And as long as your heart is willing and ready and able, he will come and bless you. And you will be blessed. And as we come forward tonight, we are at a place in our history, and I pray that Heaven View is filled with people who know the calling of God on their lives, so that when he blesses us with the masses, that we are ready to put that ability and the gifts that he's given to us into action so that we can be used by him. And so as you come forward to pray tonight, God, break up the fallow ground in me. Whatever it is that I'm resisting, whatever it is that you are nervous about, surrender to the Lord tonight and say, God, take me beyond who I am and use me for your purpose. Use me in your kingdom, Lord. Jesus, I surrender my life to you, Lord.